List for cubes. List for cubes. Welcome to, what is it, the fourth episode of List for Cubes?
Yeah, I think so.
Two with Al Shute, one with Sky, all with Sam and Pete Landry. Is that how it goes?
Sounds right.
Well, I'm Pete Landry.
I'm Sam Landry.
I'm Al Shute. No relation.
To the other Al Shute that was on?
Al Shute the intern.
Different Al Shute. Bizarro Shute. So yeah, welcome back. It's been a... No.
Don't say that.
Wrong show. So yeah, it's been quite some time since we've done one of these. I feel like it was before the beginning of the summer was the last one we did it.
Yeah, I think so. Sometime in the spring. At least 2-3 weeks from now. 4 weeks later, maybe.
Yes. So yeah, we missed a lot of good sets. Wait, no, we didn't. But yeah, so now we're getting back into things, and you'd think with spoiler season for cons coming up, we'd be talking about that, but instead, we're not even going to go into that yet.
I mean, there are a couple cool cards on fetches printed. That's really sweet.
Yeah, if you don't have your fetches yet, that's cool.
Yeah, and the new Sarkin looks really dumb. But other than that, yeah.
Like, is dumb a good thing? I'm not hip.
Yeah, dumb's cool. All the cool kids are saying dumb nowadays.
Okay.
Yeah. Dumb, nasty, ill, sick.
What was... Oh, and the clone. They just spoiled that today, so you know what day it is now.
That looked good.
Yeah, that's a fun card.
Yeah, the card looks sweet.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait till the whole set's out, because it's hard to see how it's all going to shake out with all the multicolored cards.
Definitely.
Like, I feel like you need them all to be, like, start picking and see what you're going to add.
Right, yeah,
because, like, I don't know about you guys. I think, Pete, your cube separated out with some slots for the different shards. They're different three.
There's one
cards.
For each of the shards. I don't have any wedges yet. But
okay.
I'm not against it. If they print some good ones.
Do you think if they print, like, 2 or 3 good ones, you're going to try to get one for each wedge?
Yeah, honestly, well, I always think about, like, maybe it's just me, but I see other people doing it too, that their cube kind of changes as standard changes.
Right.
Where, like, whatever the new splashy, exciting thing is, they kind of are like, I want to have, when Mirrodin was out, it was like, I wanted to have all these artifacts. So people were just piling in artifacts into their cube. And then after that excitement kind of left, they kind of took out a lot of them. I remember when Alara Block came out, I felt like I had, like, 3 in each shard, just because it was, like, shard time!
But right now, like, every cube is trying to play Sphinx's Revelation, too, to a point, because they want to live out those, like, blue-white standard dreams that, you know, they can't have, but...
It's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like I will at least, while this is fun and exciting and something that's going on, I'll at least try some wedges, and then in a year's time, who knows if I'll still have said wedges or not, but we'll, you know...
Flying crane technique?
That one's going right in the cube.
Definitely. 6-mana combat trick.
Yeah.
Has to be good enough.
Yeah. I'm in kind of a different spot, because I wasn't even playing when, like, the shards and wedges were out before, so this is kind of my first exposure to them,
right.
Limited at all. So I'm pretty excited to, you know, see what I can fit into my cube, what works into my themes, and I'm definitely gonna, you know, be pumped to add a couple cards.
Is there anything that, like, you think, other than, like, the obvious ones, are you anything you think you're definitely going to add from what you've seen so far?
I'd have to pull up the list. I can get back to you. There have definitely been some that have, like, kind of caught my eye.
Right.
But more that, there was one that makes goblins, kind of, like, supported the Goblin Rabble Master thing. I'd probably run that because I have a lot of tokens in my cube.
Yeah, you do a lot of tokens. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Definitely. You can sack into Siege Gang if you need to.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Probably pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's tough because it is 3 colors, but at the same time, if you do land on the board, it does seem like it's going to do pretty good things.
Yeah, and that's, like, another reason why I'm kind of holding off judgments until everything is out,
mm-hmm.
so we can even just compare it all within its set, and then I can get a better idea of power levels.
Right.
Sam and I, before you got here, we were looking over the set, and we talked about that the elephant, the 5/7 elephant for 5, that every upkeep, or every turn, any creatures you control with a +1 counter on them untap.
Mm.
And by itself, it just doesn't do anything. But we were saying that, who knows, once the whole set's revealed, there's going to be +1 counters everywhere, and
maybe
that'll be a lot better.
That Outlast mechanic,
that's
going to put counters on stuff.
That's true, and that is a white card, as the Elephant Fortress is.
But Outlast sorcery speed, so it's not like you can do it on your turn and then untap it.
No, but, like, you can have, like, a big blocker if you need one, or, like, if there's an Outlast card with a tap ability, that could be
good. True. You can do it on your turn and still leave it open to untap.
Like, imagine there's, like, a Royal Assassin with Outlast on it that costs a little more. That
yep.
might be pretty broken. Not broken, but really good.
Well, you need to figure out a way to get +1 counters on it. That's the thing. It doesn't do anything by itself, and then it doesn't do anything with other cards. It needs to have, like, a third layer of cards on top of it, definitely. Actually. So, hopefully the set, you know, makes it so that kind of stuff can happen. But, you know, as we're saying, it's still early on in the season.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of cards to be revealed so far. I think, like, another 200 or something. So, right. It could be, like, the best card you could have at the pre-release.
The set is young.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, yeah, I think today we were going to try to fit in... five apiece. We all have lists of five.
Do we want to do a sample pack first?
We're going to do that, but I want to... Just so sure. People aren't like, oh, this is stupid, I'm going to turn it off before you guys... You even... I don't even know what this is about! What's going on? I
thought we kind of said it in the beginning. We covered it.
But, I
guess... You might have heard the singing at the very beginning.
Yeah. That's what this is all about. Just, we're going to go back into singing lists for Cube over and over again. But yeah, so we're going to do, each of us is going to list the last five cards we cut from the cube. We're going to go into kind of why we cut them. Some reasons are interesting, some reasons are kind of boring. So, you know, we're hoping that we can get five each in here. If it seems like it's running long, we're going to cut down to four.
Yeah.
You guys get robbed of the list. But as of right now, we're thinking just five.
Yeah.
So,
and it's pretty cool too, because Pete's Cube has been around for a long time. Al's Cube has been around... like, probably a couple of years at this point, year and a half.
Yeah, year and a half.
Round, and mine's been around for, like, less than a year. So we have, like, all three of, like, the cutting amazing cards, cutting cards that are, like, you know, maybe have their last legs, and I'm cutting cards that have no business being in Cube anyway.
Just because you had them.
Yeah, just like, this card, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, but it's kind of interesting to see where these other Cubes are standing in terms of what they're cutting, why they're cutting these cards, and, you know, what are they cutting them four, maybe? I don't know if you have that written down as well.
Oh, I can bring it up off the top of my head. I know why. Like, I mean, as an aside, any cube owner would be able to, I've just found, talk at length about why they're cutting a card. You know, like, or why they're adding a particular card. It's not just because it's like, oh, I found it. It's like, there's a particular reason you're doing anything.
Yeah, definitely.
One thing, sorry to jump back. So yeah, we're going to do that. Sorry, jumping around a little bit. We're going to do that, but first we're going to do a sample pack. We're going to list out all the cards in the pack, and then kind of talk about what first picks are potentially there, just because everyone likes doing that.
Cool.
But before we do that, Al, did you see that Sam and I saw it, the new red 2-drop? The one that has, if you attacked this turn, it's a 2-1 for 1 and a red. If you attacked this turn, it has the raid mechanic, it comes in with a +1 counter. And it can't be blocked with creatures with power 1 or less.
Yeah.
Seems pretty stupid.
Yeah, it seems pretty dumb. I would play that as a 2-1. Spellskite doesn't block it. Wall of Denial doesn't block it.
Potentially 3 power, depending on when you play it.
Yeah.
Splashable. So that's exciting.
I like it. Yeah.
I think you're definitely going to have to choose between... You know, you can't have 3 Gorehouse Chainwalkers anymore. Can you run 3 Gorehouse Chainwalkers?
I'm going to run 3 and I'll probably cut Ash Zealot. Zealot.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yep.
More splashy.
I'd rather 3-1 red cards than a double red card in the midst of all that.
It's a good card, but it doesn't get played as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the ability doesn't come up very often, so it's more just for the first strike.
Do you know where most of the flashback cards are?
Where?
In red. Okay. So it just screws itself over, you know, most of the time if you're going to do anything.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, so let's do a pack!
Hey!
You guys excited?
Yes.
Nah.
All right. Started off strong, Elspeth, Knight Errant. Gall the Shrine, Putrefy, Ponder, Bloodbraid Elf, another good one, Balance,
Jeez.
Tough one.
Savannah Lions, or as Sam's is, Leones de la Sabana.
I think that's Spanish.
De la Sabana.
De la Sabana.
Faithless Looting.
Faithless Ludiabo.
Not in Spanish. Negate, Upheaval. White doesn't get ahead of all the fun.
Nope.
Capsize. Wow, this is a stupid
pack.
This
is a really good pack, huh?
Aether Adept. Recurring Nightmare.
Nice.
And then Broken Orsoff Signet. I mean, amazing. And then Compulsive Research.
This is a tough pick.
Yeah, not going green, I can see.
Yeah.
I think...
really nothing in green.
Like, just right off the bat, before thinking about it too hard, I think Recurring Nightmare is my pick. But that's a really tough choice to actually come down to make. But I think I choose that card because all the other colored cards have a lot of competition in them.
Yep.
And I feel like Recurring Nightmare compares favorably to Upheaval, which compares favorably to Balance, which compares favorably to Elspeth. So if it comes down to choosing one of those, I'd rather this solely black card. But, I mean, I don't think you can really pick wrong here.
I think... what do you think, Al?
In a complete objective world, I would agree with Sam that you cut the black card. It's a bomb by itself, and there's nothing else in black really to pull anyone there.
First card in the pack, you're going to build around it. Yep. It's like the perfect time to get that card.
I think we talked about that card on our Build Around Me cards
yep.
episode.
Yep.
But I really think this is more like a, what am I feeling like today? With Absolutely. Options like Upheaval, Recurring Nightmare, Balance, and a Planeswalker, it's just like, what direction do I feel like I want to go in? Another, I think I would take Upheaval here because there are so many blue cards. Like, I would play any of these blue cards if they wheeled.
Totally.
And so none of those, I don't think any of the supporting blue cards are first pickable, so you no. go into...
I guess if, like, maybe someone else is blue, they might take Compulsive Research.
Right, if someone else opens another good blue card, they'll probably take the Capsize or the Ponder or the Compulsive Research
right.
as a support card.
I wouldn't just take it, though, like, as a sign that blue's open.
Right.
I would mm-hmm. be in blue to take one of those cards, I feel.
Yep.
But yeah, I'd probably... I haven't built an Upheaval deck in a long time.
That's a good point, too,
so
though, because if you take the Upheaval, there. You're passing Recurring Nightmare, Balance, and Elspeth.
That's already half the draft group.
Yeah, that's 1, 2, 3, right there.
That's 4.
Oh yeah, yourself included. Yeah. What do you take, Pete?
So you, up until this point, you guys kind of had me... Like, I was, like, with you, Sam, on the Recurring Nightmare, just cutting black right out. No one will see it coming.
Yeah.
And then when I heard the Balance talk, that makes a lot of sense, because Balance is really the best blue card there, and as we said, the other ones are kind of more support. But I have a strict policy on never passing Balance.
You mean Upheaval first, with the blue card?
Wait, what did I say?
Balance.
Oh, did I?
Sorry. Balance is a good blue card.
I thought you meant like Summer first.
No,
like,
no.
Balance is the best blue card. I'm like, yeah, you're going mean,
no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
it's not like going. no, that was me looking at Upheaval, but thinking about the pick that I really wanted. I spoiled it.
Right.
Yeah, Balance will splash in. Balance is like Mind Twist for me, that it's just like, oh, I'm playing this many colors. I'm just now playing this many plus white.
Right.
I will always fit Balance into basically any deck. There's tons of fixing for it already in this pack alone that I could kind of go off of anything.
Yeah, there's a chance you'll get pack the Signet or the land.
Honorable mention here that's worth pointing out is let everyone else fight over those colors, and Bloodbraid Elf mm-hmm. is the only real red or green card other than Putrefy in this. And it's insane once you can kind of build around that and just get a bunch of 3-1 drops
Definitely.
In that little range and just
and
go
yeah,
aggro.
You get that Faithless Looting back too. Which would be good yeah. in any deck, I think.
Exactly.
And it's not bad taking an aggressive line when there are other cards that are set up to be less aggressive
yep.
strategies.
Everyone else is going to be kind of like, ooh, I'm going to slowly get the, or I'm gonna get the 6
yeah.
mana.
They're
going to
be pondering and researching.
Yeah.
And,
or
yeah.
playing their Signets. Yeah. And I'm just hopefully going to be beating Faith and casting like Molten Rain off the top and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, Bloodbraid yeah. wants you to be casting that Capsize on it over and over again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
Uh-huh. This is a really good pack, though.
Yep.
If I open this pack, it's just... It's just tough. I feel like Al was saying, like any day of the week, it just really all depends how you feel. Because there are just so many different lines of play you could take from this. Even like being boring and taking some like Signet and keeping yourself open.
I hate those people.
I do too. I absolutely do too. Yeah, it's the best card. Yeah, whatever. But I mean,
for those people listening, you can do that.
Yeah. That's an option.
Just
it's
make sure
trade.
I'm on your left.
Yeah.
Please. But yeah, I wish I opened this pack.
I mean, even realistically, let's say all the good blue cards get taken by the time you take that Upheaval and it comes back around again, maybe that Signet's still there. I mean, you would play
yep.
it just to play Upheaval.
And honestly, if all the blue cards get taken, you know not to play blue anymore.
Yeah,
yeah
no one got
yeah,
the Upheaval.
Yeah, right. And yeah, no one gets to screw you with the Upheaval.
So. No one gets to play. So cool. I mean, yeah, this is a good pack because...
yeah, it's a sweet pack.
Everyone has their own opinion. And
this is a non-powered cube, by the way, so there's no Sol Ring or anything like that. You'll never see anything like that. Okay, I'm way too close to the mic. Excuse me,
yep.
I can clear your drums out.
Also, I like these packs as a purely in a feel-good kind of everyone's happy kind of thing. It's like, I get a card that I want, and it's one of those packs that you're going to pass to someone and they'll be like, whoa!
Yeah. Like wondering, like, whoa, what did you take?
What did he take?
Right, yeah.
Was it Sol Ring, a G?
Uh-huh.
No, man, something just as good.
It
or almost just as good.
It's also kind of like, you know, like magic of like Christmas past. Like all those 4 cards we talked about, I've been queuing with since we started queuing.
Yep.
Every one of them.
For the most part.
I think Recurring Nightmare and Upheaval were ones that you got after the fact. But I know you had Elspeth at the very beginning. I know you had Balance at the very beginning.
Yep, this is true.
And like Recurring Nightmare is like my favorite all-time card. And like Upheaval is probably my number 2 favorite all-time card. It's just like, that's just the best like 4 cards you could possibly have. That sucks.
Yeah. Well, that sucks in fictional deck yeah. Fictional draft world. I mean,
man, I would totally lose that fictional draft. Yeah.
All right, so yeah, let's talk some cuts. Do you want to do this? I'm assuming we're going to go round, or do you want to just
little round robin,
little round robs?
Yeah.
Do we want to start at the most recent cut and work our way back, or do we want to start at the fifth most recent and work our way to the present?
I might just jump around for cuts that I think are more interesting.
Than your last five?
Yeah, I mean, they're not bad. Like, it's gonna be... Okay, fine, we can do the last five. But I think there are just more interesting ones right before that that are within the same chunk. Like, I got, like, 10 cards at a time and then made a bunch of cuts.
Right.
So. I think you could feasibly include that as your last five.
You get to order them on the stack how you want.
Okay.
If I changed 10 cards out, I would choose 5 out of those 10 and I wouldn't do them in order.
It's a storm count, you know?
Judge's rule, right. Okay.
Storm count all goes on at the same time.
And you get to choose what order.
Yeah, like with, what's that card? Fluster Storm. You just use a targeted spell.
Okay, cool. We'll do that. I'll Fluster Storm then.
Yeah.
Okay. Who wants to start?
How about you start?
Okay. Well, what order am I... Like, did we didn't decide?
However you want to start,
I get to choose. I'm setting policy.
Okay.
It's your birthday.
So, we'll start with the last... The oldest cut I have. Was not oldest, but this is from August 10th.
It was a Congregate. The oldest cut you have.
No, that... And that was in for a while.
That card was, like, really good because you played so much multiplayer. And, like, it'd be like, you gain 100 life.
We don't do multiplayer anymore.
No.
Okay, yeah. So, the most recent, oldest cut out of these five was August 10th, and it was, I cut Vampire Hexmage. For Reassembling Skeleton.
Interesting.
I've never played Reassembling Skeleton. It's been around forever. Some people really like it, because they want to support kind of the Braids, the Stacks, the Pox, those kind of decks.
I'm thinking about getting one.
I thought I saw one in your stack.
No? I might already have one.
I was going to research that by going through a pile of cards right now. I cut Vampire Hexmage because I wanted to try another 2-drop that supports a totally different set of cards. Maybe can bolster the Braids deck and things like that. But it was also because we just got a huge influx of planeswalking killing cards.
Yeah.
The main reason people play Vampire Hexmage is to get rid of counters on things, namely planeswalkers.
You're rarely hexmaging like a powder keg or something like that.
Right.
And it's interesting that once they come out with cards that just say kill that planeswalker, how dinky the hexmage starts to look.
Well, especially at 2 black.
Yeah, it just really starts to get outclassed quick when you have Heroes Downfall and Dreadbore and just other things that are just like dead instant speed.
All the Oblivion Ring clones.
Yes.
It is funny though how Heroes Dawnfall is so much better because it's instant speed and has one more thing and kill creature.
Yep.
Whereas, feasibly in some situations, Hex Mage is going to be just so much better than Heroes Dawnfall because it attacks for 2 and it
and
has
wears equipment,
yeah, exactly.
All these different kinds of things,
But just double black on its own and only doing one very specific thing.
Yep.
And you almost want to hold in your hand, too.
Yep, you don't want to, Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's the...
Is that Resolving Skeleton?
Yeah, no. It's Vampire Hex Mage.
Oh, yeah, I rock it.
So, yeah, I cut that, and I put Reassembling Skeleton in. It's been in for a little under a month. I maybe cubed a couple times since then. It's been kind of a slow summer for cubing.
Do you have Pox?
I don't have Pox. I don't have small Pox. I thought about it. It's maybe something I'm going to do at some point, but I haven't actually gone out of my way to do it yet.
Do you have Smokestack?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Braids. And it's okay with Greater Gargadon.
I can see that.
It's okay with, what's called Clamp. I'm probably not running it to its most potential, but it's something I'm just trying out to see if it even casts anyone's interest. I mean, and then if not, maybe I'll throw some Poxy stuff in there and just try to push it a little further. But then at that point, it's kind of like, most people don't even run this card. Why am I warping my cube so much to make Reassembling Skeleton such a high pick when it's never really going to be that high of a pick? So it's just mainly trying something out, kind of. I know that they're going to print another good black 2-drop at some point that I'll be able to swap it out. It's kind of like a flex spot.
Yeah, and the Pox package, if you didn't want to include it, would be pretty easy to just kind of place in there right now, just because you have almost all the pieces that you can possibly.
Yeah, I think I'm missing 2.
The Poxes?
Pox and small Pox.
Yeah.
That's it.
I run it, and I'm kind of middle of the road on it, just because I don't find the people I play with, and myself, or even people who have online, really like going into mono-black builds very often.
Yeah.
And that's just a huge issue. I've had more success with Deathcloud, which is kind of a really heavy black card, than Pox itself.
Yeah?
Just because...
That's weird to me.
Yeah.
It's it is weird. But you can almost like splash the Death Cloud easier because you have to pay the X cost a little bit, so it's easier to get to that triple black
right.
than you needed to.
Well, the thing is, Pox is like triple black and X a third of whatever. X equals
it's
whatever
weird.
A third of what, because you're never gonna play it on turn three really, I don't think. Or maybe you do, I don't really know. I honestly I'm not like this is kind of my first dabble into maybe going into Pox, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. But I've been pretty impressed with Death Cloud, so I think it's just more of an issue of I haven't seen a lot of people playing Pox yet to really get like a good analysis of what it could possibly do.
Yep.
But I've been pretty happy with Death Cloud.
Okay.
I don't not like it. Which is ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
It's not my least favorite card in the world.
How many cards in your cube?
415?
415.
Something like that.
Did you come at that number for a reason? Or
I started 360, and then I was like, I want to add these 55 other cards.
No.
Okay, yeah, that's kind
of a good way to do it.
The point that I'm getting at, too, is that there's more cards that I want to add than I want to really cut.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing, though, because like probably 5 years ago, 4 years ago, it was at a point where it's like, some sections you just couldn't find enough good cards for. And now I think there are very few spots in cube that are thin, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has a variety of things to choose from.
Definitely, which is cool.
Sam, what is your first or oldest of five, your last five cuts?
I cut Withdraw recently, which is blue, return target creature to its owner's hand, and then return another target creature to its owner's hand unless they pay one. And there are a lot of dream situations for this card.
Is it an instant or a sorcery?
Instant.
Okay.
I believe it's instant. Let me make sure real quick. Yep, instant speed.
Okay.
So, like, there are a lot of ideal situations where they're tapped out, and you pay your withdraw, and it looks really sweet, and you get their two creatures. But more often than not, it was Into the Royal where they paid one extra. That couldn't target other, non-creature things.
Right. Hard to splash.
And it was double blue. And that was pretty bad. And the reason I cut that was because like I said, my cube is pretty new, and I recently just acquired... I've been kind of trying to buy or trade for like all the really cheaper cards that I want, and that includes Serendip, Befreet, and Frostbite, which I recently just picked up.
Cool.
Yeah, and Withdrawal was really, really good in my Pauper cube, which I took apart to make the regular cube I have right now, but it just wasn't doing it.
You can kind of see that it was Pauper origin.
Yeah, exactly. Like, in Pauper, it would have been sweet, because bouncing a creature and making them pay one is good enough there.
Yeah.
But in regular cube, sometimes you're just bouncing Elspeth tokens, and that's just sucky. Or sometimes...
Yeah, just not good enough.
It just doesn't do anything. Or, like, they almost always have the one mana, unless you're a deck that plays, like, one drops, which they don't give a shit. They'll just play their one drop the next turn anyways.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it was just, like, it just didn't do enough. When it was sweet, it was, like, the best card, but when it wasn't, it was really tough to play.
So what was the official swap for that?
The official swap was that for Serendip Befreet.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Much better.
Definitely.
I'm playing it, play it forever. That's another one that's been in since the beginning, and I'm not in any worry to cut it.
It's a really cheap card, it's only like 60 cents.
Yeah.
For the green
everyone should get one.
Of Serendip Befreet.
Confuse your friends.
Yeah. You want to play blue cards in your green section?
Surprise!
Yeah. Randomly, you'll find a forest in there, too, but...
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I mean, I was never not happy with Withdraw, but it was just never what I wanted it to be. So I was kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, you kind of notice that things start to get outclassed. Like, they sound really good, but then once you start using them in a changing environment, they just don't hold up.
Definitely. Absolutely.
One of the key indicators, and not every card's like this, but a lot of time, you know which cards in your cube are getting ready to be cut because you see them as the last three cards in the pack or the last five cards in the
right.
pack over and over again. You're like, geez, if the more you see a cube card, the more likely, if in a draft, I feel like the more likely it's going to get cut at some point.
Definitely. And it's a lot easier to notice the ones that are at the end of the pack.
Exactly.
Seeing them go around.
Five times at least.
I don't want this shit.
Yeah.
So just keep passing it.
I'm not playing it.
Uh-huh.
Al, what's your first?
Okay, so my first one is, should I say the new card or the cut card?
Cutting what for what?
Okay, so I cut Foundry Champion, which was in there from the beginning.
Wait, what did that do?
You might need to read the description.
Yeah, I think I will have
in
to.
The world.
Yeah, since nobody that will recognize that. So it's 4, a red, and a white. When it enters the battlefield, it deals damage to target creature, player, equal to the number of creatures you can
kill.
And then it's got fire breathing, or
pay one white to get blood healing. Plus zero. Yeah, blood healing, whatever you want to call it.
Firefighting? No.
Yeah, so when I was making the cube and going through my collection, like, a lot of the multicolor spots were thin, and especially red-white. And this guy has just been sitting there and sitting there. Oh, it's a 4-4, too.
Yep.
So it's just
4-4 for 6.
Yeah, it's just been sitting there in that spot just because I got no... I didn't go out of my way to get any other cards. And it was sitting there being an eyesore, and then finally Pete was like, I can't take it anymore, and he got me a card that we had been talking about that would be really sweet in my token-themed deck.
Because, before you say it, the Foundry Champion was in there kind of as a token-themed guy to begin with, because yes. He's so good with the number of creatures you have.
If you can hit players, too?
Yeah, creatures or players.
Yeah,
it's not the worst. You got like 10 other creatures out there.
Well, that's the thing is that you could make a lot of creatures in almost any color with a lot of token support all around. And so when you had him, he actually turned out to be okay.
When did you have him?
Yeah. But he's
how many times did you have him?
He never got drafted, or you know, you never wanted him. You were never looking for him, and he always just made it in there, and sometimes was good. But he just pulled his weight enough that it was like I don't want to cut him for anything else that I had.
He seems like a win more almost, too. Like, if you have, like, 12 guys on the board and that's going to kill him, I think your 12 guys should just kill him anyway.
Yeah, and he's a shitty win more because, like, you're like, I play in this 4-4 that I have to pay more to get anything really out of to make him bigger. It's just not exciting. When there's Titans around, 6 mana has to do a lot.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
Exactly. So he was just sucking up space. And so that got cut for Goblin Trenches.
Nice.
Which, pretty excited about, pretty new... cut, you know, so it hasn't, Goblin Trenches hasn't got played very much, but I'm excited to just see the decks that come out of this guy. Goblin Trenches, one for a red and a white, it's an enchantment, you can pay 2, sack a land, put 2/1/1 red and white goblin soldier creature tokens into play. This was recently came up in, I think it's in Vintage Masters.
Oh yeah.
You know, it sounds like a cool card, but then when I saw it actually get, like, you know, be played online in some decks.
The inevitability of just, like, getting that many tokens. Sam and I have some familiarity with it, because I used to play it in my cube back in the day. And then I cut it kind of in the red-white flex spot that existed for a while, where there wasn't anything really good to put in there. And so I just rotated through a bunch of things, like Slayer Stronghold and whatever.
You still play Slayer Stronghold?
No. Boros Reckoner was the one that replaced that, and then I went back to Goblin Trenches. Because...
So you figure Destiny, Ajani, and Goblin Trenches?
And Boros Charm.
And Boros Charm?
And, what's the other one? Lightning Helix.
So you run 5?
Yeah, what up?
What's up?
I run 9 in a guild, so there's 4 lands on top of that.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so anyway, we have some experience back in the day, and it was okay. It was good. It was just cut to try other things. But then... I recently put Purphoros in. I kind of was inspired by Al's token thing, and I've been putting a few little token things just to kind of make it stronger. And that was
only. Do you run Purphoros?
No, I don't have him, man. I would if I did.
We'll talk after.
Okay.
No, dear.
I mean, we'll talk to you.
Gotta revise this podcast later. About
yeah. I do have a Purphoros.
Yeah, I have a Purphoros.
Someone
great.
Might have a Purphoros.
It's on my list.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it's a good idea. So
yeah, I'm really excited to use it. So that should be sweet.
I'm curious to see it with Twilight Drover. Yep. It's good with Rabble Master.
Yep, very good with Rabble Master.
Good with Siege Gang.
There's just a ton of different token support cards Anthems. That I got running around. Yeah.
Just Anthems?
Yep. So it should be sweet when it gets rolling.
Yeah. Are there any good, like, non-just by themselves good goblin lords of sorts that could be pretty close to being played at this point?
No, Rabble Master.
Rabble Master, but that card's just so good by its own that I don't even, like, count it like that.
Well, so you want a lord that's good by its own?
Well, like, it's Rabble Master. Like, I mean, yeah, I know, it sounds crazy. But how close are we to, like, getting a lord, goblin lord? Like, you know, like, the humans thing, we're pretty close to having, like, a mass flux of humans.
We're closer to elves and zombies, in my opinion.
Than goblins?
Maybe humans are pretty good, subtly, but... that's a whole nother podcast, but it would need to be like it would need to pump all your guys and make guys and do things by itself. It would need to like destroy lands and make goblins. It's just not gonna like I don't know. That's a brain exercise for some other time.
Definitely, yeah. Sorry, I'm gonna go tangent right now.
Excuse me. Next on the list, we're ready.
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah, let's do it.
Memory Jar was cut for Cold Steel Heart.
Interesting.
Memory Jar was cut, because Memory Jar's been solid, but never... It's always the 23rd kind of card, unless you, there's a few ways to abuse it, but they never come up. And it's just kind of a clunky card that you have to either have the mana to play it and cast tap it at the same time, or you play it and hope it doesn't die for a whole turn. It's just... And it's card advantage that can show up another color, so that's kind of cool, but it's always kind of just like... It very much is one of those 23rd cards most of the time, where it's like, oh, I don't have a 23rd card, and drawing 7 cards can be cool, let's hope it works, you know.
Yeah, I also don't know if it was super supported. Like... I never really knew what it was for, so
yeah,
I would always
kind of
stay away from it, but I saw, like, a Travis Wu draft or something like that, where he was like, oh, sweet, I have Memory Jar, and he went on to elaborate a few different reasons on why it's good to take,
yeah.
And I just don't know if there were the same kind of cards that would be
those reasons exist in my keyboard.
Right,
or not.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Exactly.
And Cold Steel Hearts kind of, it goes in any deck that wants to not play aggro, and just, it comes in, makes you a color that you need.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a good signet that isn't a signet, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's whatever signet you want, basically, and it's
yeah.
going to ramp a little bit. You can that could be your one splash. And
you can tap for color to turn and comes into play, too, or it comes
no,
like
I think
tap.
It comes into play. Tap
yeah,
it.
I think so.
But yeah, so that was just kind of like a less exciting card, but more likely going to get played in a lot more decks.
I've always liked that card, just because it is whatever color you want it to be. Like, you know, one of the bigger issues I've had with, like, Mind Stone, which is not a card I've ever considered cutting, but, like, I do have an issue with it, is that, like, it's always just tapping for colorless. Which,
yep.
when you can, like, cycle it, that's fine, but, like, when you want your signet to tap for mana, it's just...
I wouldn't play Mind Stone if it didn't have that other ability. If they
totally.
If they, which they haven't made, which is weird, but if they ever made just a Mind Stone without... Mind Stone minus, like, just Mind Stone's ability to
tap for one.
Tap for one. Like, I bet people would try it.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably. I mean, I'm actually
surprised they never made that
card. I'm surprised they didn't make that card yet.
Yet.
I'm sure in time.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully.
Alright, same good.
Alright, card number two is... Oh boy, a lot of good ones on here. Let's just go with... friggin' the Werebear.
Werebear?
Werebear. Where's the bear? Where's the bear arms?
So, my question to start with this is, Werebear was in your cube?
Like I said, my cube converted from a pauper cube.
Gotcha.
And
so, is Werebear a threshold?
Yeah, Werebear is 1/1 taps for a green for 1 and a green that has +3/+3 when you have threshold.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, that actually was Tarmogoyf in the Rug Delver decks before Tarmogoyf existed. Fun fact of the day.
How far we've come.
Yeah,
is all I can say to that.
But, yeah, I mean, the card was just, like, it was just straight up, like, fine, I mean, like, baseline fine to okay. Like, when it was a 4-4, it was a solid alright. When it was happy for green mana, it was a solid cool. You know, but it was never, like, good. It was never great. Mm-hmm. In Pauper, where, like, you're actually, almost every game is, like, kind of grindy, and they all take a while.
4/4s are a big deal
yeah.
there, too.
Huge deal, definitely, because all the burn and the removal that's kind of, like, subjective to it. And, like, the fact that most games, even, like, aggressive decks, have a grindy element to them, because there's so much removal in Pauper. Way more than in regular cube, just because you have to play all those extra little ones, because you don't have all your planeswalkers and your ridiculous, you know, whatever. But when you get to regular cube, it's just so much worse. It's like... I would have rather play, like, so many different cards. I mean, it was fine, because if you need a ramp deck, it's, like, a rampant growth. That sucks.
Yeah, that could die.
Yeah, that can die. Unless it's a 4-4, even then it can still die.
It can still die.
Yeah.
And then you gotta make the decision, like, oh, I gotta stay alive so I can't ramp into that spell or whatever.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. It's just, like, it was more of a headache than anything else. But I cut it for... Where are you? Eternal Witness, which is...
We don't even have to talk about it.
Yeah. The cards are staple.
Great.
It makes
Good
sense.
Job.
Yeah.
You're not the worst ever. Good to hear.
Your cube is a lot better.
Yeah, thank you.
So, let's just... I mean, like, I don't even... Like, just to save some time, let's just not even... Like, everyone should know what Eternal Witness does and how good it is. Go get it for your cube.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cheap.
Al, what's your...
Okay. So,
Move this right along here.
Yeah, was recently doing some work in blue. And
mm-hmm.
So one of my cards that I had was Cackling Counterpart, and that's 1/2 blue, put a token, instant speed, put a token onto the battlefield that's copy of target creature you control, has flashback for 5/2 blue, I thought it would be pretty cool, since I support a lot of tokens. But some drawbacks, it's a creature you control, so you already have to have a good creature, and if you're in a blue deck, not every blue deck is going to have access to that good creature, so it might just be dead in your hand a lot of times. So I cut that for Forbid, which I was a fan of because it helps, you know, helps the control deck, another counter, and it helps also the reanimation strategy.
Definitely.
So I love, like, the blue-black reanimation, which has been, I don't know, probably one of my favorite decks. Yeah, one of my favorite decks to draft lately. So I found that sitting on top of a quarter card, big giant box.
Nice.
I was like, okay.
Taking you.
Yep, you're coming home with me.
That's pretty sweet.
Forbid's just, there's nothing worse than playing a spell and having them forbid it and then them discard two cards for the rest of the game. Or like at least the next three turns or however long. If you have land tax in that or something like that, it's just like
Forbid plus a face.
Forbid plus Squee.
There's so many good lockouts with it.
Forbid plus Genesis. I mean, there's like literally so many things you can do with it that it's just like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Even when you're just getting value off like deep analysis and stuff like that.
True.
You know, you're
another
just,
good one.
You've got options.
Sometimes it's just like a straight up time walk too. Like if you like if it's at the end of the game and you only two cards left in your hand and they're really good, but forbidding is just the best choice you have there, then like
you gotta do it.
No problem. Yep. Getting two spells off three cards, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
You don't need to be that way. It's just and the fact that it's a hard counter, it's not anything stupid like, you know, whatever, it just makes it so much better too than anything it could have been.
Just the stupidest cancel ever made, basically.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good choice.
You think you still play if it was four?
No.
Two and two blue?
No.
Two and three and a blue.
I am not a fan of the two blue and two.
I'm at a point where there's too many four drops in every color.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier with that,
the new clone that's coming out. It's
Clever, something? Clever Impersonator?
Yeah, because we were like, oh, it's probably the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth best four drop in blue. Probably the eighth best.
Yeah, it's just the point on the curve where you just start hitting the ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, and there's just so many good things.
It's really good, yeah.
I gotta say, though, I don't think clever is, like, the right word for like something copying like an Elspeth.
If, oh, that's
like,
clever! You look exactly like me. That was clever of you.
Yeah.
Clever impersonation attempt there. I can see it. You look like.
I can get that resemblance.
You look exactly like a sword I have. That was clever of you. Good one.
Yeah.
Sword guy.
Like, that's probably the most, like, one of the most understating cards there could be.
Decent impersonation.
Yeah. Not the worst impersonator.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah.
How clever of you.
But also, on the Captain counterpart, I could see some decks where that card could be really good.
No.
But, well, kind of like a blue-green deck, where, like, you're ramping into bigger things, and you have, like, a cheap counter. I mean, a cheap clone of some sort. Not the
There are better cards.
Oh, sure,
there's
better
so
cards,
many better
but, like,
cards in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's got flashback too. So that green blue is a really good example because
it's good with
you copy
Forbid.
It.
Huh?
It's true.
Yeah,
you blew it.
I
put
did.
It back in.
Yeah. Well, like it was a card that I was like, this
you
could
blew
be cool.
It. Sorry. Get it.
This could be cool. I really want this to work, but it just didn't get into enough decks, and it just, you know, there are more pressing cards that I knew would get played. Like, I know Forbid people are going to want that. You know,
totally
all the time, every time. Not everyone
counterparts more of like, oh yeah, okay, this could actually be convenient, I'll take it.
Well, also, I mean, there are more often times, like, we kind of dipped into this, where you will have the Cackling counterpart and three creatures in your deck, or four creatures, and it's like, well, I'm never actually going to play this, or I'm copying some Elspeth token or something stupid, you know? So often it's not good.
If you're playing that, like, blue-green, or I mean, blue-black reanimator, or like, I don't know, like, show and tell deck, are you really playing that to copy your Grizzlebrand plus
you're not copying your Grizzlebrand. That's a terrible idea.
Exactly. If you're playing Show and Tell, are you really playing Cackling Counterpart?
Yeah.
No. Not at all.
Huzzah! Find out the best. Just
so, I'm just trying to keep it moving here. I think we're up to an hour.
No, we're at 39 minutes and 15 seconds.
All right, go back to your bullshit. This is probably the most Cackling counterparts ever been discussed when it comes to the cube in its life, and it's just like, please, please, someone's going to look at me.
It's going to be playing these, like, 5 minutes of this podcast over and over again.
That was my dream day.
Did you guys hear me on the Listening Cubes podcast?
Yeah. Forbid's like, comparison to who?
Yeah, from another podcast?
I've been on a few of those.
On point.
they compared you to cancel. Shut up.
But favorably.
And scene. Oh yeah, so Lightning Greaves got cut?
Yeah.
For Scuttling Doom Engine. Oh. were you saying Scuttles?
Scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt.
I like it.
It's a good chant. Lightning Greaves has always kind of just been a solid. You play it, then you play your finisher, then you equip it on. Kind of like, it supports the Fires deck a little. It protects your finisher and your control deck. But it's kind of like, I'm spending two mana to do this.
It's a card that helps you win a turn earlier.
Yeah, I guess. And it keeps one of your guys alive.
Yeah.
But there's so many better equipment at this point. It doesn't do anything to pump the power. It's really not enough when there are so many other... There have been a lot of haste enablers printed recently. Mm-hmm. The Shroud isn't as important a lot of the time. It's come up. It's definitely come up, but it hasn't come up as many times already. Scuttling Doom Engine!
That card's already been proved to be a beater.
Yep, I mean... There's only so many 6-drop spots in your cube, and there's only so many 6-drop spots or artifacts in your cubes. I can see cutting Triskelion for it. I haven't, just because I have a soft spot for an altar that I have. But I last night I drafted Recurring Nightmare and Scuttling Doom Engine, and didn't get to do it, but the potential was there. And the one time it did hit play last night, it attacked for 6, couldn't be blocked by all the Dinky, Sower of Temptations, and Venser, Glenalandra, whatever. All the blue guys, and just beat in. They finally killed it. It dealt them another 6 points, and everyone was miserable except for me.
And it was also awesome to control magic it against him.
Yeah, that was great.
His face in.
Oh, it was you that I attacked and killed.
With his Wall of Essence out, or Wall of Omens
just
Omens,
not
yeah,
doing shit.
Just standing there watching a Doom Engine scuttle over it.
Yeah, that was great. it actually played really well in M15, and it was one of those cards that I was like, I'm not going to go buy it, but if I crack it in a pack during a draft,
which
I
did,
I don't know, but I'm not, it's not exciting enough to go out of my way to get it, but it's one of those cards that looks powerful enough that I at least had to try it.
Yeah.
And
it was pretty fun so far.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Now, are a lot of people playing that card?
No, I don't think so. I think people will. I think word of mouth of how good it's going to go around. It's obviously second in line to Wyrmcoil Engine for 6 drops in artifact section.
Yeah.
And that creatures with power 2 or less can't block it, like, it doesn't sound impressive until you, like, see it in action and you're like, oh wow, all these would-be chump blockers just can't
don't matter.
Do anything.
Token deck sucks against
it. The race, yeah.
And
there's so many creatures that can't block that card.
And yeah, the ones who can probably don't kill it. And probably don't live. I mean, most of the ones that would block it are in, like, the 3-5 power range. There's a couple of 6-drops, obviously, that'll go toe-to-toe with. And then afterwards, it's going to hit you one more time when it actually does die.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it's brand new. I'm impressed, though.
Yeah.
I like it.
I might have to try it, because...
Do you have one?
No, I don't have one, but, I mean, if it sounds like it's not the most expensive card in the world.
I don't think it's going to get played in Standard.
Yeah, exactly. And, like... My biggest issue was, like, would I really be happy if I played it and I only did 6 damage? And as a baseline, that's not the worst. Like, that's not really, like, the worst thing you could be doing with a card that dies.
We were talking about all the Titans. If you play a Titan and it gets killed instantly, the only Titan, quotation marks, that's as good as that, I think, is Wyrmcoil. Like, I mean, it deals 6 damage, maybe the token...
I think Grave Titan might be.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe the 2 tokens from that are good,
yeah.
But Inferno Titan's not as good.
And I guess it depends what you're getting with Prime Time. If you're getting like something really, really dumb, like for the land, it might be as good, but
they're
most of the time,
it's Sun Titan and Prime Time are kind of like variable in what they do with one activation, but if they all die the turn they come in, it's a good comparison to be with those two and Wyrmcoil.
Sure, you know? It's at least like almost... Often it'll be better than Inferno Titan if they don't have any creatures that Inferno Titan kills. Just because you're going to be doing more damage with it.
Definitely.
And it's colorless.
Splashable artifact, recurring nightmare kind of shenanigans. There's so many things you can do with it.
Sounds pretty sweet.
I'm very excited to keep seeing what it does.
Yeah.
And if it sucks, I'll cut it. It'll be on the next time we do this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, too. It seems like a pretty easy cut because it's not like... It's not a card that seems like, oh my god, that's insanely powerful.
Why did you cut Scuttling Doom Engine? It's never going to be something people say until maybe a month from now when I beat the shit out of people with it over and over again.
Broken up everyone's
faces. They're going to be asking you to cut it.
Yes, maybe.
Yeah.
Cut the scuttlebutt.
Cut the scut, give it the butt.
Get the scut the butt. Is it my turn now?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm out of things that rhyme with butt.
Yeah.
So, be back with more
that
later.
Did not rhyme with butt.
My recent cut was Keldon Champion. And
3-2
haste?
3-2
haste, echo, does 3 damage when it comes into play to target player. And that's always been, like, for a long time, that was, like, the premier 4 drop in red. In terms of, like, finishing the game. And then Koth came out. And then Hellrider came out.
And Hero,
and Hero Oxenridge. And I have recently acquired 2 of those, and I have another one, and it was just, like... It just seems so much worse next.
It's
to
It's anemic, cards. Very anemic compared to those.
Yeah, because if you're not actually not killing them that turn, paying 4 the next turn is brutal.
That echo is rough.
Yeah, you almost hope it dies the turn it comes in.
Yeah.
You hope it.
Yeah.
You hope that you attacking is such a threat to them that they just throw something in front.
Yeah,
of
Yeah, they
and
have
it dies.
To block it and it kills it, and you kill a creature, and then
you don't have to pay for it
value.
Anymore.
Yeah.
You kind of like need to win the game that turn with Killing Champion in the decks that Killing Champion is good in. Or else it just doesn't do enough for you. And having 2 toughness is so bad,
Danky.
Too. Yeah. When you're comparing to Hellrider, which doesn't even need to attack. You just, like, you just attack with the rest
of
your
You send
creatures.
All your minions in.
Yeah, it just destroys face. Or Koth, which is obviously stupid. Like, it's a planeswalker that...
There's a lot of stupid red drops at this point that Keldon Champion is not.
Yeah.
It's also, I mean, like, Keldon Champion for me is one of those cards that, like, you feel, like... As someone, Al probably doesn't have this experience nearly as much as we do, sorry, to rub it in your face, but, like, you know, you show your age when you think fondly of Keldon Champions, like, for the long, like, there are definite, like, we're in, like, the golden age of Cube right now, where for the longest time, we were talking about it earlier, you were struggling to make your quota on different curve, places in the curve in different sections. For the longest time, that was what you had in red, and you were very, very, in quotation marks, happy to play it, because you didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like an old man. Right. You didn't know any better, so you played your Keldon Champions.
You had your Vortexes and your Geeds and all the other things.
Yeah, I recently cut it, too. I was running
Oh, you had it?
For
cool,
a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they reprinted it in some kind of special deck that I had, and I had a foil.
I think
one,
it was in, like,
so.
The Fire versus Ice deck or some shit, like that, or Tibble Bliss is Soren,
or... the Super Fire deck, the premium deck,
you got the
burn,
mm-hmm.
I think it was in there.
Yeah.
But, it was, like, honestly, there are a lot of fond memories of that, and it looks like the old dog that's getting ready to be put down, just compared to all the other fresher new red drop dogs that are out.
Yeah.
All the other Cliffords that are other big red dogs.
Big red dog, big red
dog. Big red dog. Sorry.
You're good. I remember when you first cut that card, Kirk and I were just like, whoa, what are you thinking? Oh, he's so stupid. Oh my god. Blah,
I was years ahead.
Yeah, that was just like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Ahead of my time.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, like I said, I cut that card for Koth, which is just...
Duh. Once again, I mean, it's like, you almost don't need to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's
we all know what Koth does. If you cube with Koth at least more than once or twice, and it just actually did something at all, you know how good it
is. If you're playing 3 red spells that cost 4, it's one of them.
Yeah.
And that's the most fun part about having, like, starting a cube, is when you start making cuts, like Keldon Champion for Koth. Like, that's just, like, they
I'm
feel
in the
so
big
sweet. Leagues. Yeah, it feels so sweet, because you really start to identify the weaker stuff, and when you just power up like that at that spot, you're just like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Ready to draft this now. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Because
yeah.
maybe for a while, you're like people weren't playing red as much, and this is like a huge shot in the arm.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, so pretty easy cut on my part. I mean, I was happy while I was in there. Again, there was another card that was in my pauper cube that was really good there, and like I was like, maybe it'll... Even though I knew it wasn't going to on the long term, maybe it'll translate over pretty well. And it was okay until I got the better cards, and I got the better cards, and I was like, what am I doing? And
living in 2006.
In the past, old man Landry over here. But yeah, so that was that, and yeah, I'm happy with the change. I won't ever go back. Never again.
Yeah.
Alright, Al.
Alex, shoot.
Okay.
What do you got?
So, this was another sweet bargain bin find.
Where is this bargain bin that you speak so fondly of?
Kamikaze in Davis Square in Somerville. They have this little section...
Is that
like this middle table.
COMICAZ.
Like comic and then
that's
Ozzy,
cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And they just have like these giant boxes filled with just cards for 25 cents. And some boxes have all, like, the Gatecrash, all that bullshit stuff. Yeah, but then,
stuff no one wants.
Yeah, right. And then some of the other boxes had, like, some different other chunks, eras of cards. So I just spent, like, you know, an hour combing through a bunch of crap cards and found some good ones.
Cool.
But, yeah, I cut Act of Treason for Stone Rain. So I
wanted, solid.
Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of Active Treason. Like, I like the threat and effect.
You were playing a bunch of sack things, trying to make it good for a while, too.
Yeah. It was just never a card that I was like, ah, you know, I can't wait to kill your guy. I don't know.
For one turn.
Yeah, I just like killing lands so much more. And it was Tempest Art. So
it's way more
nice.
Fun when no one else is having fun.
Exactly.
Everyone do yourself a favor and look up the Tempest Art for Stone Rain. It's beautiful. It's so trippy and weird and just like...
It's cool.
What?
Definitely cool.
What? Why?
Yeah, and it's like not a you know, game-changing, you know, earth-shattering switch, but just kind of more of a preference. I'd like to kill your lands more than steal your creatures and give them back.
You're getting to a point also with what the lands you've been getting that actually killing lands is something that's a valuable play at this point.
Yep.
Like, you have more lands that are good from where you were a year and a half ago when, like, definitely, you didn't have as many shocks or, like, pain lands and things like that.
Yeah. Like, Stone Rain's a lot better against a deck with a bunch of man lands.
Yeah,
exactly.
Than a card that can't ever steal them.
Yep.
Yep.
And also, like, I wanted to support that. Like, I have, like, a couple other land destructions in there, so I thought, like, having a third, like, a third or a fourth, yeah, it's better, because now that deck actually works a little better. You know, decks that want that want it more than they want, you know, Act of Treason.
Yeah, if you're, I mean, like, a lot of people play Pillage because it does both artifacts and lands, so it's solid at any point. But if you have Pillage, Molten Rain starts to look a lot better, and then Stone Rain starts to look a lot better, and then that Acidic Slime starts looking pretty good. Like, not that it doesn't look good already, but, like, there's a lot of
like
cards that you're like...
Rider, and, then, and then it's like you start having that consistent deck.
And then
like,
everyone hates you.
Yeah, right. I have the Molten Rain and the Pillage, and I just thought, like, I really want to complete the trifecta. I do not.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
we're not
going to
talk about
that.
Yeah, strip mines? I got no strip mines. I'm just kidding.
Okay. I remain silent.
Yeah. Just asking. Just asking.
For Christmas, I understand.
Yeah, right.
Only drink a little more.
Yeah. Turns out he has not been. I can tell you that right now.
Weird.
We're going to go to meme?
Yeah.
You got a Halloween mine.
What are we on here?
I'm a bad Santa. I'm not going to take it.
Is there Billy Bob Thornton over there?
I'm always Billy Bob Thornton.
Are you Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah.
And that guy's Billy Bob Thornton.
I'm the midget in that movie, actually.
Dwarf. Peter Dinklage was probably going to listen to this, and that's not.
Sorry, Peter.
Offended.
Well, at least he's turning it off now.
We already got to listen.
Right. He's trying to reach the nug.
What up?
Oh, sorry, guys.
Sorry, all the dwarfs in Magic. Anyway.
I do want to say real quick, though, the Act of Treason actually was on the Moto Cube for a long time, and might still be on
the
That's
not a good endorsement of anything.
It's not.
And that's an interesting cube.
That is an interesting cube, because, like, you'll have packs where it'll be like, oh, sweet, Jace the Mind Sculptor, and then you'll see, like, the worst possible card, like, that 1/2 that can get, like, +2/+2 and has, like, lifelink.
Yeah.
Do you know what would be a fun shit-talking podcast that we should do? podcast that we should do is we should all for the next one, I think the next one should be let's all bring our three most what the fuck are you doing Moto choices for the cube.
Yeah, that'd be
do we have enough time for that podcast?
Just the top three.
Okay.
Just the top three.
Just
and
making sure.
I'm sure we'll all have completely different choices.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for next week.
Yeah. I'm going to skip it because it's probably not going to stay in the cube. I think the switch just might get reversed in the next month, but this doesn't count.
Sure.
Getting it out of the way.
Freebie.
I cut Putrefy for Garruk Apex Predator. I'm on the fence about him, but I cracked it in a pack, so I just want to try it out. But
yeah, try it.
People probably won't even notice it was there. So we're going to go on to... I cut Spikeshot Elder. Most people I've found when talking about this card are like... And,
they don't speak English, is what you're saying.
I had a stroke!
I had a stroke!
Yeah? Goals! I had a stroke!
Who are you hanging out with?
Homer Simpson, basically.
Oh, okay.
Dan Castellaneta. Spikeshot Elder is a card that I had been defending for, I want to say, like, 3 years longer than anyone else. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's been out that long either. But, like... it was so solid with equipment.
It was
so,
on development, actually, for Wizards. Yeah,
I was. They were like, we shouldn't even print this. And I was like,
you guys! You guys have to print it!
Yes! But yeah, I always liked it. I always found that I had the 3-mana and it was always helpful and it was always doing things. But it's definitely one of the weakest cards in my super, super tight cube at this point. That I could cut... there are a couple other cards that are about on par with it, but I'd rather have another Lightning Strike or something like that. Some more solid things that are going to show up more places.
Yeah, I think that 3-2 would be a better inclusion than that. The new one that's coming out.
Yeah, oh yeah. Very happy to... You know, like, obviously there are much better cards at this point. Spikeshock Elder was one of those, like, I'm still holding on to the teddy bear even though the ears ripped off and the button eyes falling apart and it smells like dog shit. But I cut that because I have Burning of Zinyi from the new From the Vault Annihilation, and I really like the Wildfire deck enough to play a third copy of it. I'm playing Wildfire Forever. I'm playing Ember Swallower since they printed that, because I think that's...
What's the other copy? What
do you Burning of Zinyi.
Do you have Destructive Force in there or something? Or?
No, this is the third. I'm happy to be playing a third one.
Ember Swallower.
Ember Swallower is the third.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Because that makes everyone sack a bunch of lands, and it gets big. It's basically like a pseudo Wildfire. So I'm always happy to have a third one of those. It's foil. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
There's horses getting fucked up on it, I think.
With, like, some fucked up horses.
Yeah,
those horses.
Yeah.
Sorry for
swearing.
Sorry to Hamilton. Sorry to Liquid for swearing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Peter.
No, he doesn't care about that. He's making fun of dwarfs. That's his issue.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think he plays cube, though.
That's good.
So, I'm not gonna come up. But yeah, so, if you... Obviously, people who know about Wildfire, it's a good art type. And it's such a specific archetype that it sucks that they've only have a certain amount of cards that can do that. And they keep trying to recreate the magic with things like Destructive Force and things of that nature, but they are all too expensive, too slow, too not enough, too hard to build around.
There are cubes that run it, and honestly, I have an issue with Destructive Force. I think 5 damage is too much. I think that kills way too many things.
Agreed, it's hard. That's what I'm saying, it's hard to build around. It's hard to get enough creatures that will survive that.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to do Wildfire, and it sucks that there's only two such cards that exist called Wildfire, not called Wildfire, but that do that. So, I'm finally happy to have the second one.
But I think having two, plus, like, Armageddon almost acts as a Wildfire supporter. Yeah, very loosely. But
kind of, but I honestly would rather run Earthquake as a pseudo Wildfire at that point and just not worry about lands.
Yeah.
What's the Hellion?
Crater Hellion.
That's kind of like that, but it's the sweet, saucy middle spot where you get 4 lands and 4 damage. It's too good to pass up.
You don't have to, like, start over, like, with Armageddon. You know,
exactly.
You don't have to have as much of a, like, board advantage to fire it off.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, they can come back, but they're not.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm right.
Actually, how did you get that awesome Burning of Zinyi?
There's an amazing comic store... I'm an idiot. I don't know the name of it. In Meredith, New Hampshire, which is up in the Lakes region around Winnipesaukee. There was a super nice guy there. We were talking cube cards, and I had been like... that weekend I was up there, and I knew I was going to spend around $40, maybe $50 on a card. I was asking, do you have Eldrazi? They were like, no. I was like, do you have Burning of Zinyi? They were like, no, but we do have the From the Vault, and we had been talking and stuff, and he was such a nice guy. That he was like, I'll sell it to you for MSRP or however those letters go in order.
Yeah,
and, yay! Alright! Yay! Nice gentleman sold it to me for price, and that's how I got that. And
yeah, we'll have the name of the store under the podcast.
By the end of the podcast. Yeah. But yeah, and spoiler alert, the next card's from the Vault Annihilation 2, but we'll get to that. So
Annihilation 2?
Oh, spoilers for days.
More Annihilation.
Not even Wizards knows about that shit. Alright, go ahead, Sam.
My next card that I cut was Ronum Unicorn. We played this card a long time, and it's kind of like Spike Shot, where you're just kind of like, oh yeah, this card, you know, they're enchantments that you want to kill. And like,
it's more like Keldon Champion to me, where it's like, I have to have a certain amount of 2-drops, and it's not just a bear. Mm. It does something.
Right, and it's a unicorn. Which has to count for something.
Yep, the most metal something ever.
Yeah.
The last unicorn. Huh? Hmm. Hey, am I right? Think about it.
That's deep.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But,
keep going, sorry.
Yeah, you're good. Just pausing my life for a moment.
And to think about.
Reflect on that. Yeah.
Last unicorn. Wow. Oh, Jesus. Shit.
But,
Shield Comics.
Shield Comics.
Shield
Where
Comics.
Is that again?
One High Street, Meredith, New Hampshire.
So
kind of new. Awesome store. Everyone's super nice. You can get your comics there. You get your magic cards. They have boxes of singles for days, kids. For today's.
Days. What do you want?
Singles for days.
Singles for days.
Singles and stuff.
He was showing me... Sorry, totally interrupted you. He was showing me... I think he said he traded, like, 250 in store credit for it, but he got the Teresa Nielsen full art lands. Foil.
Oh.
They were pretty.
I bet.
Yeah, just, like, he was not... Those were not for sale, but he was showing those off, and it was really cool to see those up close.
How much are those worth?
A lot of money.
I think they have to be worth more than 215.
250.
$50 a piece? Pretty much.
Yeah, but I assume that's cheap.
That seems really cheap. I was going to guess like $100 for each one. Maybe 80 to 100.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
But,
you talk about yours, I'll look that up.
Yeah. Rome Unicorn. It's a 2/2. You can attack and destroy enchantments. Who's still awake?
Yeah.
Like, this is... Yeah, great. It attacks for 2. It's a 2 fucking toughness. You can destroy your control magics and your treacheries and blah, blah, blah. But let's be real here. There just aren't enough enchantments where, like, having your Rotom Unicorn to sack it is going to be relevant enough. And then even then...
Even after Theros blocks him.
Even after Theros blocks him.
Yes, absolutely. Even after Theros block. But, friggin'... It just... And you know, a lot of the time when you have the decision between, like, do I want my Rotom Unicorn or do I want to sack it? It's kind of a hard decision a lot of the time. Unless it's like, I have to sack it, or they destroy all my stuff, or I have to sack it, or the pernicious D goes off, or whatever. But, it's just like, the lamest of lame friggin' creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was a lamer creature in my cube, except maybe like a token that was thrown in there by accident. But like...
Are there any more Cold Snap cards in the cube?
I don't think so. I think that's the last one.
Just wondering.
Another thing that kind of bugs me about that guy is that he's been reprinted under so many different names that have the same ability. So it's like, you have the
Keening Banshee.
I have Kami of Ancient Law. Like, you know, everyone has a bear that destroys enchantments, like, of a different name.
War Priest of Thune might even be better.
No, definitely not.
You don't think so?
Because you have to play it, like, you can't play it and attack with it waiting for them to
put
their enchantment out.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, there are a million of them.
It just takes away the magic of the cube card when it's just, you know, there's so many other same...
And you're playing effects. Magic, that's... You want the magic.
You want the magic, yeah.
You need the magic for magic.
Yeah.
But I cut Rune Unicorn for, almost ironically enough, Stun Titan, which is actually not the worst with Rune Unicorn.
Right.
But...
They could have been best friends.
They could have been BFFs, for sure. Definitely. But before I had Stun Titan in the cube... My white finishers were Elish Norn, Angel of Serenity, and, like, Baneslayer Angel.
Yeah.
And, like, Cloud Goat. So that's, like, 4 finishers. And that's, like, okay, but, like, other than Elish Norn, there's, like, nothing that was just, like, oh, sweet, this is something I really want to build around to a point.
Right. The Titan serves that good build-around role, as well as being a nice, you know, 6-6 that'll smash some stuff up.
Yeah,
definitely.
And be able to defend, too, because it has the vigilance and whatnot. And also, it's just a pretty sweet build-around card. There are a lot of cool things you can do with it. If I'm to get a Venser at some point, which who knows when that could ever be.
Yep.
Even if I ever want to, they could print enough good blue-white cards before then that...
I think they have.
I agree they probably have, but at the same time, I have a little soft spot in my heart for Venser. If I had one, I would definitely play it, but I don't, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's fine with like the Blink theme, Crystal Shard, Erratic Portal if you still play it. I don't know who still plays that card.
Erratic Portal?
Yeah.
Of course I do.
Yeah?
It's still super good in the Blink deck. It's like Wildfire that you want to have 2 of that effect. Crystal Shard's effect that you want to have 2 of. And
you just don't think it's that much worse
I think it's the Crystal Shard that goes in any deck.
Yeah,
like,
that's
I've played black-red decks that I just want to keep bouncing my Necrotals and my Avalanche Riders over and over again.
That's true.
Maybe that's a pet card. I don't know where it stands with people, but I think it's amazing.
Yeah, maybe I should get one. I've been thinking about getting one for that kind of reason, too. But I've always loved Sun Titan. We started cubing around, like, M10, I want to say.
Yep. And that promo art where its eyes are just dead staring and, like, the silhouette, and it's just, like, dun-dun-dun-dun. Like, that thing is coming up the ridge to fuck you up
so bad. It looks so much cooler than the other ones, too.
Just, like, you have no idea what it's on. Like, that, no facial features. Like, I mean, the other ones are kind of like, I'm a guy with long blonde hair and I look great, and the other one's like, I'm a dude, like a giant...
At a wall, yeah.
Yeah, whatever thing.
With a hat on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm fighting Malacrono. It's just like, yeah, great, cool.
Like, that one is like, there's pure fear of that Sun Titan.
Yeah, he's coming for you.
Therese Nielsen's islands are going for 150?
Just the island?
100? Yeah, the island's going for 100.
So the other ones are probably like 70 to 60.
No, they're all about, the mountain's the same. They're all really? They're all about 100 bucks.
Wow.
So he got lucky.
He got
price.
Really freaking lucky, yeah. Good for him.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah,
anyway.
But yeah, Sun Titan card is awesome. Very happy to have it. Yeah, that's that.
I mean, I hate to say it, especially at this point in the game, but your cube is so new that you are definitely, a lot of your, like, I'm adding this, it's like, these are cards that everyone are like, yeah, of course you are.
Totally. Yeah. That's what I said at the very beginning, is that, like, my cube is, like, so new that I'm just getting those, like, $1 to $5 cards that in every cube are, like, almost staples, just because I don't want to spend the $30 or trade $30 of value for a Bitter Blossom or whatnot.
That's where I'm at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you just got big bombs left to get.
Spending $80 for a Liliana or something like that.
Right.
Or, like, how I spend $160, I think, on, what was the stupid Rolling Earthquake?
How much is that worth now? Is it really?
It's like...
The Chinese version now.
Yeah, Chinese simple.
When I last checked, it was still around 100.
Yeah, but I definitely lost a good chunk of money on that. I don't care. Whatever, I got two copies now. But it was definitely I should have waited.
Hindsight, you know.
Yep.
How are you going to know that from the vault?
Well, that's why I was talking about it. My new policy is going to be don't spend more than $100 on a card that's not on the reserve list. Because there's always the chance. My cube's good enough at this point that if the world ended right now and I was stuck playing with the cube cards that I have, I would be very happy with my cube. Mm-hmm. I would not be like, oh,
and you have enough stuff on the side
that rotate things in and out. I definitely could.
Yeah.
So, it'll be, like, honestly, there's no rush to get the Library of Alexandria, in my opinion. I mean, like, it'll be awesome to get it, but I'm not gonna, like, dump that much money on... Is that on the reserve list?
I believe so.
Okay, maybe I will. No! Because they reprint... No! They reprinted it, in...
Modern Masters.
No, it's in Vintage Masters.
Yeah, Vintage Masters, yes.
Okay, I was getting confused. I thought they did a promo version.
They want,
I'm thinking Caracas. Like, because they did a judge... version
they
of that.
They did do a judge version.
Yeah, they haven't done a judge version of Library.
I don't think they could.
I think it's on the reserve list.
I think it's on the reserve list.
Have an intern look that up.
Yeah, I'll look it up real quick.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead, Al.
Okay, yeah. Speaking of staples, I mean, my cube is still kind of rounding out into that. There's still playing some jangly stuff.
You're half and half.
Yeah, it's getting a lot tighter, but there are still fun staples that I'm looking adding, in, especially in the multicolor section. So I cut Simic Growth Chamber for Mystic Snake.
I like it.
Yeah, so...
That's
just
the bounce land, right?
Some people really like the bounce lands.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not partial to them, and I don't have the ideal mana base by any means, but it was just kind of one that I felt like you could really get abused for playing, so people would be more on the fence about playing it. I'm not particularly attached to it, so that was just kind of the cut that I made.
Yeah, I mean, they're good when they work out, but they're really awkward when they don't.
Right. And you know, adding Stone Rain, you know, kind of getting
rid of
that.
And that's the plan I'm giving you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, right.
For Christmas.
Yeah, and like, you know, everyone knows Mystic Snake. It's a super fun card.
Yep.
Really fun to abuse.
Totally.
Creature and a counter spell on one.
Kind of dumb.
Speaking of Crystal Shard and Erratic Portal.
Yep.
Just dirty with those.
Absolutely.
You had a deck last night. Your deck had Mystic Snake and Waterfront Bouncer.
Mm-hmm.
And Glandalandra.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other stupid four drops that were just... You basically had Waterfront Bouncer and every four drop you don't want to see with Waterfront Bouncer.
Right. yeah, exactly. Just there to abuse stuff.
Including Deep Analysis.
Yeah.
Like, pitching that to Waterfront Bouncer. It was so stupid.
Bouncer's awesome.
Then they had the sword that you gain 3 life and return a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. So yeah, I was abusing some stuff.
And I was playing black white.
I was having fun. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah,
there were two black white decks that night, and both were miserable against Al.
Who else were you playing with?
There were six of us.
Nice.
It was me, Al, our friend John Ellenwood, who probably brought it before, Jeremy Vifano, who has come up in conversation, and this kid, Matt LePage, who is big into magic, has been forever, but is kind of new to cute. He destroyed us all with a black and red aggro deck. Like, he is very much, I want to see him and our friend Kirk play against each other, just to see how they clash.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
I always underestimate him, and then he just draft, because, like, he's so new to cube, that it's just like, oh, yeah, you know, he'll learn, and then he just comes out with a deck that just smashes.
I am learning, yeah. I need to learn. And then this girl, Leah, who we work with, who is just getting into magic, hasn't really done many drafts at all, and was kind of, she wasn't in over her head, but she was definitely blown away by a lot of it.
Yeah, but cube, honestly, I'd rather get thrown in the fire than
sink or swim, kids!
Yeah.
That happened to me. First time, like, third time playing Magic, first time in the cube, drafting with Sam, drafting with Pete, drafting with Sky, you know, and then, yeah, their friend Kirk, who had a pitch on there, and then just like, yep, so nervous, not knowing what any of the cards do.
But you learn how to do it, though. Yeah. You learn how to do it the right way,
too. Well, I was saying, it's always just like, you make your deck, and then someone beats you with some crazy card that you're like, whoa, I didn't know that was a thing. And then the next time you're like, I'm taking that card. And then you make that deck and they beat you with something else. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, like, as you get, every time you get punched in the face, it's like a punch of knowledge where you're just like, oh my god, I can do that next
this
time.
This is for your own good.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember when you first picked up Skull Clan from Harrison's, I was like, why is this card good? You could draw two cards but it dies. And then I played you the next day. And I lost. Then I lost again.
Yep.
Then I lost again. I was like, oh, I see. I get it now. All right. Two cards off of 1/1 is really good.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Over and over again.
Over and over again, yeah. Why are we talking about these cards? We're talking about Cube. Yeah.
We went off on a tangent about Bouncer and things like that.
Yeah.
And then last night playing, and then like people.
Mystic Snake.
Yeah. And some more of my cuts now are coming down to like, because I'm still, like, fairly new, at least compared to you guys and other people that play Magic, I'm still fairly new to it. So,
rookie.
So, yeah, some of my cuts are more like, what do I want to have fun with? And they might not be, like, I still don't know, like, this is objectively powerful than this. You know, I know this is more powerful than that. So it's more like, what do I think is going to be a fun environment?
Sure.
And, you know, definitely driven by, like, okay, that wasn't fun. I'm going to go back to what other people are saying are good.
A lot of people are saying that Mystic Snake's on its way out. Because they printed that 6-mana morph guy in the new set, the 6/6 hep, like, or whatever.
Yeah. I think it largely comes down to preference.
Yeah, and in my opinion, it's 3 colored symbols and then 1 colorless, but it's still counterspell definite attached to a creature, and there's so many ways to abuse creatures that it just, I don't see a situation where that and Benser are not in your cube forever, just because.
Yeah.
Then they printed Glen Alandra, which you can't surprise them with it. It costs an extra. It's only doable twice, and it only hits non-creature spells.
Yeah.
And that's still one of the best
right,
cards.
You're still pumped to
yeah,
get it.
I mean, like, it's literally just counter-target spell on a 2/2 is just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff.
Fun stuff.
That's a good one to add for sure. Did you get the Time Spiral version or the older version?
I forgot that was in Time Spiral. That's so good.
I think I got the Time Spiral version.
I mean, they both look cool because they're both old frame.
Yeah, got the Time Spiral version.
Nice.
I have a soft spot for Time Spiral, as an aside, just because that's when I got back into Magic, because I was so sentimental about the nostalgia. I used to play when I was younger, got out of it. Time Spiral came out, blew my mind with all the references.
I remember like, you talking to me from school being like, I just started playing Magic again. Look at all these cards. Do you remember these old cards?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool.
Down
and here we are, like, 8 years later.
My last of the 5, I cut Disfigure. Disfigure has always been a solid role-playing card. If you support Black Aggro, I mean, not Black Aggro, if you support
Black Aggro, we're here for you.
Yeah. Disfigure's great in that, but I mean, like, if you support any kind of aggro, just having an answer at 1, just to be able, oh, you played Goblin Guide? No, sorry. Or, like, you played, like, Savannah Lines? No, sorry.
A lot of things have 2 toughness.
It's just good. And then on top of that, it's a combat trick where maybe your 6/6 and my 6/6 aren't so even anymore. You know, like, there's so many things you can do with it.
Yeah.
That it's a lot of fun. But it's such an unexceptional average card. I could see, if I added another 5 cards to each color, I'd put it right back in. But it's just not there's so much removal at this point, mm-hmm. and there's so much to do, that I cut it for something that I have never played before that looked really awesome. I got Living Death in that from the Vault Annihilation set. It looks like a fun card to build around.
Have you played with it yet?
No. I just got it this weekend. It's a Wrath. It's crazy reanimation. It just seems like a lot of fun. I already have a lot of reanimation support in there. I'm playing Entomb. I'm playing like the mongrel type creatures that let you discard stuff. I have all like the looter and bouncer. There's ways to get stuff into the graveyard and set it up. So I'm curious to try it. I have no opinion on it yet. But it's been getting a lot of talk lately on the Magic the Gathering Salvation forum. It's kind of had a resurgence of people talking about it. And people are either like, oh, it's not for me, or people are like, it's very, very, very much for me. So I'm trying to find out what camp I'm in.
I'm totally in the ladder camp.
So you're on a ladder?
I'm on a ladder.
You are on a ladder in a camp.
It's not safe.
Are you trying to look into the girls', sleeping area?
Who flares there?
Oh, there's a dog. It's biting my leg. It's chasing me away.
Who's holding the ladder? Whoa.
That's how I play.
And then you die.
Well, no. Then they cut to the guy who's the headmaster at the camp, and he's like doing something in his office, not looking up. And the window behind him, you're on the ladder, like. Whoa.
And he turns around, and you're not there.
You're not there for like he turns around, and you're not in the ladder or in the window.
I thought I saw something.
And
back to filing reports on camp. Blah, blah, blah.
See, I was imagining him doing a ship in a bottle.
I can see that too.
Quiet.
I guess
it's balancing the ladder budget at ladder camp.
Yeah, exactly. Too many ladders. Not enough ladders, man.
He's on a ladder budget.
Maybe we'll get a rich donation from someone. We can buy more ladders.
This sounds like the worst camp I've ever been to.
But
ever.
The funniest show.
Yeah, so why are you there?
why are you in that camp?
Yeah, why are you in the ladder camp?
I didn't choose to go to camp. You know, Ben's got sent.
We sent him there.
Yeah, that's true.
You need to make friends on ladders.
Yep.
More you know how it goes.
More like mommy and daddy need a couple time to themselves.
As an aside to the listing ladders.
Camp podcast, ladder.
I also added Living Death, so looking forward.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is that on your list?
No, it was. I added it a little while ago. Haven't played with it yet, but also excited to like see what it can do.
Yeah.
Just an aside to the ladder discussion.
Yeah.
Well, nice.
Beyond ladders,
can we go back to talking about ladders exclusively?
Yeah, sure. What else? 20-footers? 40-footers?
What about the little step ones?
Little 6-footers?
The little ones.
You can change how large they are.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. Extendos?
Yeah, extendos.
You guys ever use, like, those, like, strongman ladders? Or, what do they call them? The gentle giants, I think they are, or whatever?
Have you ever used the strongman ladders? Where it's just kind of like an argument for the sake of arguing about something.
Right, yeah.
Bringing it up a ladder for the sake of bringing up a ladder.
Right.
Strongman ladders.
Yeah.
I made lateral arguments about that. But,
did you?
Yeah.
So, anyway,
I'm in the latter camp of...
Climbing up
I'm
to
climbing
get a
up
cat out of a tree? I don't understand. Do you like it or not?
I don't! I hate it!
You hate it?
No, I like Living Death?
Yes.
Living Death? Living End?
Living Death.
Living Death. I like Living Death a lot.
Okay.
And I've always been a huge fan of Living Death. I just, either, as we were saying, either as a Wrath, or as, like, the sickest spell you could possibly have.
Cool.
Because, like, when Living Death is good, it's just better than anything else you could probably play at that point.
All right, moving on.
Yeah. Okay, great. Back to ladders?
Sum it up, yeah.
No, it's your turn.
More on listing ladders.
All right, well... Yeah,
list for ladders.
I sold my 20-foot ladder for a 20-footer, and it's
okay.
Aluminum. And I'm really proud of it. I'm using it to get on roofs.
So you cut the 20-foot ladder from your rocket car ladder.
I cut the thing away. The little things that hold the ladder from moving broke. And
yeah.
It just wasn't doing it anymore.
Plus, you gotta manage your curve. I mean, if you have
there's also a curved ladder, too, which is really useless.
Yeah, oh, yeah, curved ladder?
Yeah.
I think they have those at, like, playgrounds. Like, kids, like, climb.
Yeah, I think it's a slide.
Oh, that's,
yeah.
You're talking about chutes and ladders?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about
Al Shoots and ladders?
You've touched my ladders?
I haven't touched any of your ladders. All right. This is a family-friendly podcast, people. Let's keep this PG here.
I have some funny stories about camping this weekend, but that I cannot bring up, that I shouldn't have
used. Was it
not
ladders?
Camping. This is listing ladders.
No, it was about getting... It was someone got a black eye in a very, very...
They fell off a ladder?
No. But let's
they
just...
They meant I'll shoot?
No,
and he gave him a black eye?
Let's just talk about inappropriate touching later, okay?
Yeah, you yeah.
There's another podcast for that. It's also a cube podcast.
Listing inappropriate touching.
Where's the worst place you put your cube? Anyway.
Who started
that? That's a silent... A lot of crying in a podcast.
You just went...
Yeah.
My therapist is going to be with us for that podcast, actually. But anyways, I don't have a therapist. First of all...
they will take him.
Yeah. Library of Alexandria is on the reserve list.
Okay.
Along with Island of Wok Wok.
We all know that.
Yeah. Who doesn't know that Island of Wok Wok?
What's on your last card?
I don't have the last one. I've only made 4 cuts. No,
everything else is in.
Yeah. I actually... This is an interesting one. Death Mark. Single black. Destroy target. Green or white creature.
You were playing that?
I was.
Was it an instant or a sorcery?
Instant. Let me make sure it's an instant.
I disapprove of playing that to begin with.
Oh, no, it's a sorcery.
Why was that in your queue?
Well, honestly, it was actually really, really good for a
little bit.
What was
it in there for? Like, it had to have
been a filler.
Okay.
It was absolutely 100% filler.
You couldn't have any other black cards.
Were you playing Raven's Crime?
What?
Are you playing Raven's Crime?
I wasn't, but I
was. I question everything then. Well, were you playing Life in the Loam?
The thing was, I don't really like Life in the Loam, honestly.
That's fucked up.
I really don't like
Go back to Ladder Camp.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Let's.
There's a reason we sent you there.
We'll do a podcast
about ladders.
We'll do a podcast of 3 cards that we question why you're running.
Yeah.
At a different point. So let's just go back to
Death
Mark. This
could be a video you guys just throwing rocks at me, yelling at me. But honestly,
not touching that one.
All
right. This is an Islamic state. I don't want to. I don't want to offend no one's. All right.
Where's this podcast happening?
In a bunker in South America.
100 feet on the ground.
They can't touch us.
No one's coming in. No one's getting out.
Deal with it, MTG cast.
Death Mark.
Okay. Yeah, so,
I hate you guys. No.
It got cut. Okay.
Yeah. That's why that was
the nightmare's over.
First surprise, it was in there. Second
surprise.
Second surprise,
it was honestly not the worst. Because again, you will never main deck it, but when it was like put into a deck, it was really, really good. Because having one mana answer to like so many different creatures.
That's right, you have a thing about sideboard cards that I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't like them, but I'm more willing to include them. Mm-hmm. I totally hear what you're saying, and I'm like 95% on the no sideboard train. But if there's a card that's like good enough, I'm like, yeah, I'll try it out, see what happens.
Yeah, try it out. And then what do you cut it for?
I just need a lot of healing real quick. I'm like, yeah. I cut it for Go for the Throat, the promo version of Go for the Throat.
Go for Throat.
Go for Throat. Me Go for Throat. Me Cut Throat. Me Win.
I was hoping it'd be a gopher.
I altered it to be a gopher.
Go for the Throat.
That's the promo version.
It's the Caddyshack scene.
So what? Let's dance on that. But too much.
It's a better removal spell.
Yeah, Go for the Throat is just way better.
Everyone but the tiniest cubes is running it.
Yeah.
At this point.
But I feel like if, you know, some people do this, some people will have like a cube that's like 900 cards or 1,000 cards. I feel like Deathmark is not the worst option there because...
Well, once you get that big, you can include sideboard options,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
They're not going to come up as often.
Yeah.
Like if you ran a full cycle of sideboard cards in a 360 cube, you're not going to have a lot of fun a lot of the time. Yeah. And then the question is, which ones do you include? Like,
I gotta say, if you're doing a 360 cube and you're constantly 8-man drafting, you're at least probably gonna face a deck that's gonna have an option for those sideboard cards a lot of the time.
But I'd rather have, if you're playing a 360 cube, there's 360 cards, not
there's
just gonna
go
be sideboard stuff.
There's Go for Throat.
Yeah, you can play Go for Throat.
But that's also another thing, is that, like, all the Doomblade, for example, like, that's almost a sideboard card if you want to splash for it. You know, like, these cards are just so good, but they don't always fit, that, like, situationally, they can be sideboard cards already as is. And there are so many times when you're drafting where you'll have, like, 30 cards to fit into a 23-card deck.
Very true.
That the 7 cards could be switched in and out based on what you're facing anyways, and be so much better than
against
the other
those 2 times you're playing green or white decks.
Yeah.
It's so snug to slide that in.
Yeah, and I'd be like, oh, cool, I only have 1 black man. Oh.
Buzzing!
Gotcha! But at the same
time... Where'd your coif go, kid?
I'm not gonna miss it. Let's be 100% clear here. I'm pretty happy to put Deathmark out of the cube.
Yeah.
And I'll never think about putting it back in again.
Until you get to that 1,000, that sweet 1,000
mark. Yeah, unless I, like, you know, like, hit my head in the ground and crack my head open and start thinking differently.
I would take over. I would foster your cube for
you. I appreciate
it. You don't have to worry about it.
And by foster, I mean you take all the good promos.
I would have all those good cards. It'd be Mike.
Yeah.
Moving on to final card.
This is our serious podcast. So
this is our serious ladder camp podcast.
Furthering the boosting of the color.
Sideboard?
The sideboard section. I cut Disciple of Deceit, which
was... Oh, good!
What is that?
It was,
It's the one that Sam... Go ahead. I'll come in a second.
Sure. Okay, yeah. So it's a 1/3 for a black and a blue... In the most recent set, and Inspired, when it becomes untapped, you may discard a non-land card. If you do, search your library for a card with the same converted mana cost as that card, reveal it, put it into your hand, shuffle your library. Seems pretty cool. You know, can tutor for stuff. Seems kind of fun.
I played it.
Yep. Also, made it in Pete's Cube, still hanging around in there.
Not for much longer.
The one issue with it is that it's a 1/3. So it gets outclassed super quick. If you drop it on turn 2, right when you need to, and you attack the very next turn, and you get to do that once, like, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
That's good. But then, how often are you going to get to do that before you're just running it into bigger things and it's dying?
But so, see, I almost see it almost as a benefit, because...
Me too. No one wants to block it. No one gives a shit.
Yep. And also, like, there's a lot less stuff that's going to kill, like, a 1/3 than a 2/2 better.
Yep.
Or a 3/1 for that. Exactly.
Very true.
That's true.
And they're never going to print a 1/4 for a blue-black that has that ability.
Yep.
It'd have to be vanilla.
Painseer is more likely to die, and Painseer doesn't die that often. But,
Well, I liked it for the reanimation strategy, as we talked about earlier, too, which was cool. But...
I played before we get to the what you added for it, I played it in... When we first got it, I played it in a black-blue kind of tempo aggro deck, where you're, like, discarding your shitty one-drops late in the game to get Mind Twister, or things like that.
Right.
And it was awesome. And it hasn't done diddly since then. And after that game that it was so good in, I was like, this card's amazing! It's amazing! And I'm telling that to Sam, and he's like, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I was like, no, it's so good, it's so good.
Trust me.
So high off that one game. And then it has not done a thing since then.
Yeah.
So it's definitely on my cut list. I'm going to probably put some support cards back in.
I just found reassembling.
Yeah, there it is.
He does have it.
Yeah.
I feel like
you've been looking this whole time.
Well, I just saw some cards that I remember seeing before. It's,
I also feel like a lot of time you're going to have a really tough decision on, like, what card you discard.
You know, I mean, you can choose not to.
It's true.
That's the thing. If you have the card you need in your hand, don't go get... you only use it if you absolutely need to get something.
Yeah.
Or you can fail to find and just pitch a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah,
right. Maybe if you're, like, you're brainstorming or something,
yeah.
You use that and you shuffle it off.
It seemed kind of gimmicky. And it seemed...
It's wicked gimmicky.
Yeah. It was kind of gimmicky.
It's not big enough to build around.
Right. So, like, yeah, even if you're like, okay, I have this card, what can I do with it now? Like, it's not reliable enough to really build your whole strategy around doing it.
Sure.
But it
was... also... Sorry. This is a card that's getting more attention than it usually would in queue. But, like, you're really only tutoring 1/2s and 3-drops, if you're lucky. Because a lot of the time, you only are playing 3 5-drops, or a couple 5-drops, or a couple 4-drops, a couple 6-drops. So it's...
And they're your good ones that you don't really want to get rid of.
Yeah, so it's an either-or type situation, usually, and that sucks.
Yeah.
So it just, it didn't...
Yeah, what if your two big things are a 7-drop and an 8-drop?
You can't get the other one with the other one.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yep,
so... that got cut for Shadow Mage Infiltrator. So,
John Finkel. Another 1/3,
but is doing a lot more work and is always getting in and is getting a card advantage in
definitely.
A more reliable way by just saying, hey, draw a card. And that's cool. Yeah, that's better to just, hey, here's an extra one. You don't have to jump through any hoops.
Yep. It's been solid since it got printed.
Yeah.
Where's equipment better, you know, is just getting in there.
Sure. And also that, like, blue-black is just such a deep, deep section as well that, like, you know, there are cards like Shadow Mage that are, one, I think fairly cheap, but also two...
Got it for a buck.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Like, two also, there's so many different ones that you could play in blue-black that are, like, maybe don't have as high of a ceiling as with Accolade or something or other.
Disciple of Deceit?
Disciple of Deceit,
yeah.
Maybe don't have that high of a ceiling.
But are always going to be solid.
Yeah.
Like, because Recoil is always going to make them discard something.
Yep.
Yeah. Or, and I'm like,
whatever.
I'm only playing 7... in that, you know, color spot.
Including lands.
7, yeah, 7 including lands. So there's, you know, 4 lands in there. So there's really 3 spots. And one of them's far and away to help deal with True Name and other pesky things. And the other one's Baleful Strix. So it's kind of like, it's just coming down to the gimmicky guy that's, you know, going to get cut.
And Shadow Mage is definitely better than that.
Yeah.
I think the other guys are better than him, too. So.
Right, yeah. So it was just kind of like, well,
You're playing the mainland?
Yeah, I get Creeping Tar Pit in there. So, you know, if I expand, it might come back, but, yeah. You know.
Honestly, there are, I mean, like, I'd rather have, what's the 4-4 flyer for 4 that does Bob for
Dust
a room?
Mantle Seer.
Dust yeah. Mantle Seer. That's not true. Terrible.
Mm-hmm. Recoil, I like.
If you, Psychotog?
The
Doi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so there's definitely better options.
If you ever move your signets to your guild section, I could see it, you know, or like talismans. I mean,
yeah.
Like if you
Tezzeret,
ever.
If you ever want to take
Tezzeret.
Mm-hmm. Though I think he's like 10 or 15.
Right.
I think, I don't know.
But yeah, there's just a lot of other things that you can do with your slots rather than that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's tough in multicolor because unlike regular color where you can have like 10 different 2-drops,
yeah.
You have. One of 4 options.
Can you imagine if that was a black card, though? Just a solid black? One in a black?
Oh, yeah, it'd be in.
I would totally play that.
Sweet. I would play that. I mean, they could never do that. But never say never, I guess.
They're never printing French lands. Said a bunch of people a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Whoops.
Whoops. A fucking daisy.
You dumb kid.
Yeah. I'm gonna say this right now on the record. I've been calling French lands for a long-ass time.
And they haven't been returning his calls at all.
Yeah.
They've moved on.
I started calling him recently just out of desperation. Like, I really need you to call me back here.
What See, are you wearing?
I showed up outside of Fetchland's house with a boombox.
Yeah!
And just
like,
in your eyes, come out, Fetchlands.
Come on, <alive. laughs> So, do we have anything else to talk about?
No, I think that was a doozy.
Okay. Yeah.
Hopefully.
That was absolutely a doozy.
We're up in a room in the summer.
Maybe a threesy or a foursy.
No, yeah. No AC going. It's hot. It's
sticky.
Yeah.
We're yelling a lot. It throats are drying out.
Yep.
It's really.
I think there's burgers downstairs waiting for us.
Yeah, they're actually outside the door.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got a text during the
Did you really?
Yes, yeah.
That's so funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got something to do.
Hopefully the dogs weren't outside the door, too.
The dogs texted you, the burgers were outside the door.
If I had known that, I probably would have gotten up quietly and gone over and got the burgers.
Yeah, I don't want the pie to be going, blah, 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 blah.
So let's talk about cuts.
Cuts of meat for
I'm
burgers.
I'm going to cut that burger
Right. No, you talk. Your turn.
Yeah.
No, not my turn yet.
Keep going. But yeah, so I don't know. Good job, everyone. We did a cube podcast.
Yay!
First one in a while. This Hopefully, we can do another one within the next month.
I'd like it regular.
Like someone who's eating well.
Eating that yogurt.
Yeah.
Getting that yo game going.
Yeah.
Getting
their yo plate.
Plate your plates full. Yeah.
Get yo plates. Of burgers. So yeah, goodbye, everyone.
See ya.
Cube.